welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. Oh, wait, that's the, I'm going back. Let's see, I should be creative. Let's see, you are listening to?
Willkommen!
Welcome! Oh, yeah, that's sort of the same. Anyway, it's Curmudgeon's Corner. It's Sunday, December 26, 2010, as we are recording this. And Yvonne Bo is with me. I'm Sam Minter. And, so it's the 26th, so we're all coming down off our, our Christmas highs or whatever, and we've got an exciting show coming up for you today. So now this show will probably be actually released right before New Year's. So Yvonne and I actually decided we're not going to do New Year's stuff today. But we will save it for the next show. Our goal is to actually prepare and look at and remind ourselves what we said last year at New Year's in terms of predictions and stuff, and then talk about how we did. That requires some preparation and stuff, so we'll try to do it next week, and we'll see if we actually manage. We're gonna talk a little bit about the East Coast is getting some nasty weather right now. We're going to talk a little bit about trends for Obama's approval and how things have gone with the lame duck session in Congress, etc., which got a lot more done than people thought it would. We'll touch on the net neutrality debate that sparked up a bit this week with the FCC doing some stuff. And if we have time, we'll talk a little bit about credit unions at the end. That's the goal, anyway. That's the plan. Those are your teasers. Teasers. So,
Are you teased? Okay.
Yeah, Yvonne mentioned when we started here, there's snow coming. And I asked him, snow in Miami? And not quite, but the East Coast, I've seen a lot of Facebook statuses from people on the East about how, the snow is coming and how this is supposed to be mega snow or whatever. Of course, I'm sitting here in Seattle. It's doing nothing but rain. And I'm like, snow? What snow? I could drive a few miles to the mountains and get snow, but...
Well, you've gotten snow there. I think, wasn't it last year that you guys got a lot of snow, wasn't it?
I think it was 2 years ago. We had, a really major snowstorm over Christmas. And basically the whole city was closed down all the way from Christmas to New Year's.
I remember that a little bit.
Seattle gets snow. We got a little bit of snow earlier this year. Just a tiny bit. And, Every few years, there's a big snowstorm. But for the most part, this is not a snowy part of the world, at least down in what they call the lowlands. Since we have mountains here, there's snow in the mountains all the freaking time. And all winter long, you hear about people, driving over the passes and being a blizzard conditions, and they're closing the passes, and you need your snow tires and all that kind of stuff. And that's like, I could get in my car and be there in 15 minutes. 15-20 minutes from here, I could be driving in snow right now. But it's just pouring rain here in the 40s. So,
okay. Well, we got over here. I mean, right now for tonight, I guess unless there is some unexpected precipitation, but it doesn't look like it in the forecast. We're expecting the low temperature tonight to be 32 with a wind chill here in Miami of, what the heck does it say here? Wind chill in the 20s. Okay. So, we're talking really seriously fucking cold. I don't like it. I don't know. Look, maybe it's just the fact that I picked up a cold about a week and a half ago or a little bit longer that I can't shake off. And adding this stupid cold weather to it is not really tickling me pink. Okay, all right, not at all. Maybe if I was fine, I'd be like, we get a couple of days of cold weather or whatever. Great, wonderful. But geez, I'm like, no, I don't like this. It has snowed in Miami, but it's only been like once or twice. At least since the 1900s. But what still never ceases to amaze me is that every year. It seems like it anyway. Washington, D.C. always gets one major snowstorm at least.
And they're always surprised every time.
And they're always surprised. Oh, but we never get snow like that. Seriously? It's every year. Every year the fucking city grinds to a halt, and everybody is shocked that they got snow. I'm like, I don't, that still never ceases to amaze me, okay? I had somebody who flew up there this week and just, you know, sent me a couple of messages, and they got to the airport, and all the flights were canceled, and everything's delayed, and it took her forever to get to the airport there. My God, the city's paralyzed, and I'm like, Jesus, what a shocker. It's been like, I don't know. I remember the first time I got stuck in a snowstorm in D.C. was 17, 18 years ago, and it, you know, hasn't really improved that much. So anyway, so that, I mean, but got snow all the way down to, I believe Atlanta got snow.
Well, yeah, my mom is due to fly into Seattle to visit us on Tuesday, and so she sent an email about how all the flights were getting canceled, and hopefully it wouldn't affect her on Tuesday. I'm like, okay, I presume everything will work itself out by Tuesday, but yeah, no.
Well, sometimes what happens with some of these flights, when all the flights get backlogged, you know, they try to oversell all the other flights to put all the people that couldn't get on the flights, and then you get to the airport, it's a mess. It's still a mess, so I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, yes,
so anyway, the whole East Coast is getting slammed. They're getting their little white Christmas, and everybody's probably like, ooh, white Christmas right now, but in a couple days they'll be bitching.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, so that's what I saw. It never ceases to amaze me. Yeah, even Atlanta has the same thing. Atlanta, the last couple of years, I've seen that they've gotten snow a couple of times this last few years. And okay, it's much rarer there. But definitely, they're definitely not equipped to handle this shit. That's for damn sure.
Well, I'll tell you for this year too. Like the weather forecasters around here were all talking about La Nina or whatever is going to be predicting that this winter was going to be a especially bad winter in this part of the country. Because of La Nina, and so far we've had Jack, you know, and we went out and, like, we made sure we had good coats, you know, we made sure we had, like, you know, the snow scrapers and gloves and blah, 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 just to make sure we had everything on hand in case, like, you know, it was needed, but nothing, you know, I haven't needed, like, a heavy coat yet this year, you know, and our the one little day of pitiful snow we got was indeed pitiful, you know, but you know, hey, there is time left. Although apparently in this part of the world, usually the worst weather of the season peaks in early December. So, you know, we'll see.
Okay. That's it.
Any other exciting weather comments? Since we're starting the show on the always exciting, hey, how's the weather there?
Well, Europe also got slammed. I don't know if you saw that Heathrow wound up almost being paralyzed because of the snow. And I mean, there was a lot of people that got stranded across Europe also for, you know, that could make their travel plans. I mean, basically the holidays across the world were basically a mess due to the weather. Nobody could get anywhere for quite a while. I think
I saw updates every once in a while about the UK being like snowed in or whatever. But
Yeah. So anyway, that's about it. Really, you know, I'm cold.
Okay, let's go ahead.
I'll have to turn on the heat tonight here.
Oh no, not the heat! Not the heat in December. Yep. Oh my God, what a thought. Okay, we're gonna take a break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about something a little bit more substantial, I guess. We'll be right back. I said that already.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, here we is. We're back. Okay, so we're gonna just put all the political stuff together here. The lame duck session has been way more productive than anybody thought it would be. Really, you know, you had the don't ask, don't tell. The START treaty passed. I mean, I remember talking on this show, you know, a number of months ago, will any treaty ever pass again? Because you need 60 votes, you know, and everybody's being so partisan. The Dream Act failed, but they passed. What was the other stuff they passed? There was a continuing budget resolution, although the regular budget.
Oh,
failed.
They passed the health care for the 9/11 workers.
Oh yes, health care for 9/11 workers.
Which that had also been like stuck in the mud. They also passed the continuing budget thing in order to fund, because they never agreed on a budget, so they passed I don't know, what are these funding bills?
Kick it down the road a couple months things.
Pretty much, yeah, they did that. I don't know, they passed more shit in like 3 weeks than they passed all fucking year.
It's like, oh my God, they're actually doing something. And you know, a number of people have talked about the political dynamics of this, in that, you know, sort of... everything was held up because of politics for the election. And then the election was over, and then all of a sudden people felt a little bit more free to just, you know, do what they felt they needed to do, like, especially sort of on the moderate Republican side. The Republicans, the few of them who are left, who normally, you know, are consider, you know, compromise and are wanting to get things done or whatever, felt freer to do so. And in a lot of cases also, there was sort of the dynamic of, you know, now's the chance to get some of these things done. And even the moderate Republicans are like, I know we need to do something on this issue. But if we wait until the Republican Congress takes over, then it's just not going to happen. So
nothing
we might as well do it now.
That's right. Right.
And so all of a sudden you get a crap load of stuff happening and you're like, well, you know, why couldn't you have done this before? And the reason is because everybody's posturing for the election and not wanting to take any votes on anything that puts them in a position that, you know, they'd have to sort of explain to the voters on either side. I mean, basically, nobody wants to take a principled stand on anything, because no matter what, you're going to piss off some people. And if you're so you wait and you hang out till your election and then you do the hard votes or whatever. And then depending on who you're talking about, either they've got at least 2 years, maybe six, before they have to see the voters again. And so they can sort of hope they'll forget by then. Or you got a bunch of people retiring who at this point are like, OK, well, fuck it, you know.
Fuck it. What the hell?
You know, I'm no longer going to be in Congress. I'm no longer going to be running for election. So I can do what I actually think makes sense instead of something that is heavily modified by political calculations.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So a lot of stuff got done because of that. And I'm like, I think that one of the things that I saw regarding this was that I think that the fact that so much shit got done over the last couple of weeks because of this, I am seeing, at least from in my view on some of the polling numbers on Obama's like overall job approval numbers, an uptick because of that.
So now, just to check in with this, I presume you're looking at pollster.com, which is now part of
I'm looking at.
Let me just say, by the way, yeah, this is the first time I've actually gone to Pollster's website since they were absorbed by Huffington Post, and it's so I don't like it.
It's annoying. I know. I agree with. I'm with you on that. This is annoying.
Yeah, the site is nowhere near as crisp and clean and easy to use as before.
As it was before.
It's got
totally agree.
It's got all this other crap around here. I don't like it.
The same stuff is there, but it's organized different. And I agree with you. I don't like it.
Anyway, So I'm looking at the National Job Approval Barack Obama overall chart that includes basically since he was elected. Since he was elected. I ain't seeing it. I see basically flat for the last few months.
Well, I'll tell you here. No, well, let's say, okay, we're looking at here.
Are you zooming in?
I know
in?
That's what the, well, not zooming in so much, but I'm looking at some of the individual numbers themselves. And I guess I take a slightly different look at these numbers probably than some of the people do. I go and I try to look at a couple of things on the numbers. Okay. So I'm going back, say, you know, there's polling data here all the way back to, well, let's see. Oh gosh. Yeah. That's to the summer. Okay. I mean, I've been looking at this regularly all the way down to like around the summer. And it depends on the polls. If I look at around, I guess a nadir that I saw in the numbers was probably around August and September, okay, where most of the polls only were giving Obama favorable numbers. Say, for example, Gallup got all the way down to about a 44% approval rating. August 13th, 42% approval rating. August 16th, 41% approval rate, 41% approval rating. Just to pick one. Let's see. I'll get another one that does regular polls, for example. Let's see. NBC Wall Street Journal had 47% around there. Then no, but they didn't do another one. See, let me see somebody else that did a regular.
I'm telling you. I zoomed in here.
Rami is, for example, does the poll regularly, and they got down to 46. They had them down to 45, 45, and around 45. Now, if I take a look at those two polls, that Gallup got all the way down to about 42%. Gallup right now has them on an approval rating of about 46, and Rasmussen has them all the way around. The last couple of polls he's come in, 49, 47. So definitely I see if I look at it a little bit, like that,
you're looking at noise. I mean, the whole value that pollster provides
I don't agree.
Come back here. The whole value that pollster provides here is they help eliminate, you know, the bias and the noise of individual polls by doing their trending over a whole bunch of polls in a consistent way.
They provide tools to eliminate
certain polls and stuff like that. But look, if you look at the overall trend here, what you have is that Obama's approval rating was consistently declining until about the middle of the summer, and then we've been almost completely, totally flat since then. We've had some polls above, some polls below, I will stop you
right there for a second. The one thing about this, that I've seen it before, and it always happens because of the way they calculate the numbers. What this thing does is, because of the way they calculate the numbers, it always lags when things tick up.
So I changed it to the more sensitive trend smoothing, and it's still freaking flat. You know,
I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning. Let me go back to what I said at the beginning. I said in my eyes.
Yes, you have a sense
that I think that I see something moving in the numbers. Okay, that's what I said.
You're full of crap. I mean, like, I changed the date range from September 1st to the present. So, like, the last 3 months. And so that you just see all the polls from that time period. And nothing. It is no movement.
Okay.
No movement at all. You see some things bouncing up and you see some things passing down. Now, one thing that would be interesting, let's go to the filter results and eliminate the internet and automated polling.
And the automated polls, okay.
And include only live interviewers and see if we see anything. It pretty much still looks flat. In the very, very recent couple weeks, you actually see his approval going down. But basically, it looks flat. Yeah, and if I switch on the default, yeah, it's flat. This is freaking flat. Nothing has happened yet. Now, I don't deny the possibility that something will happen, but there's no evidence that anything's happened yet in terms of these numbers, at least in terms of overall approval, which is what I'm looking at right now. National job approval, Barack Obama. Maybe there's a trend in something else, like I haven't looked at, you know, just his approval on health or economy or foreign policy that are here. They might show something here. But, you know, aside from arguing about the polls, I think there is a lot of potential here that we will see. I just clicked on healthcare. His approval rating on healthcare is clearly improving over the last few months. Just not the overall. Let's see, economy. But anyway, the as I wait for this. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, this thing is, oh, God. I hate this site.
Yes. Everything's
freaking slow. My processor is churning like a freaking lunatic, and this thing, God.
Yeah, economy's flat. Let's see foreign policy. Anyway, for the future, I think we've got a big, big, honking, huge question mark that we've talked about before, which is exactly how does he end up foreign policy flat too. Anyway, exactly how does he handle the new Republican Congress? If the lame duck session
if he handles it like in any indication, he's got to bite the balls.
Yeah, which, you know, we'll see. I
agree. I mean, there's still a lot to see, yes, but if any indication...
And the dynamics in the lame duck are obviously somewhat different from the dynamics that will be there once the Republican House actually takes power and the diminished Democratic Senate actually takes power. But, you know, I've seen a lot of folks talk about how basically the fact that you've got these... The Democrats don't have complete control... essentially takes a lot of pressure off them and allows them to potentially be more productive. The Republicans are going to be in a position where, as much as they say, you know, let's obstruct everything and our number one goal is just to get Obama not elected next time around, they're going to be under pressure to actually do something since they're actually in charge, you know, as opposed to just stop things. And so there's going to be some expectation that they actually put forward positive proposals of what they want to do. We'll just see. I think it's going to be interesting. I've said before, like, we don't have pure divided government since the Senate is still Democratic nominally. But, you know, I've said before, like, a lot of times it seemed like when we've had divided government, we've actually been more productive. Now, that is a seems like, and like with your poll numbers, Yvonne, I have seen a couple of things that sort of debunk that notion and say it's selective memory. So I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. You know what? Historically, I got a good thing about looking at numbers and when they're turning. And I'm sorry, but about 2 years ago, I said, the recession's over. Nah, the recession's not over. The numbers, oh, look at the charts. The fucking recession's over. So, you know what? You want to go, you want to wait to see the balls on a dog in order to call them male? Fine. Okay. I'm telling you that I'm looking at the numbers. And what I think is, bottom line, I think I see a turn. It's, you know, whatever. You take that damn chart, and it's got data from 100 bazillion different sources, and it creates a fucking trend with so much data. I actually think that, you know, when I'm looking at it, that one of the problems with that damn chart, there is so much data, they add too much noise into the fucking information that even when a movement happens, he can't tell because he got so many fucking different polling methodologies strewn in the damn thing. It needs to take some kind of gargantuan move for anybody to see an uptick in anything. Okay. Only if it's got to be like, I don't know, you'll see a turn in the numbers if Obama fucked his dog and it comes out in the news, then yes, you'll see it. All of a sudden you'll see, oh, well, the numbers turned down. It's like, that's about the only way that you see a turn in those numbers.
Yeah,
that's my thought. But
So look at one poll at a time with it. They let you filter it. So ABC News poll, flat. CBS News, flat. Bloomberg, flat. Bloomberg, very, very slight uptick. Maybe Bloomberg's the one. I don't know. Anyway, it's a big open question. We'll see how things happen with the new Congress. I think it'll be an interesting time to watch. Because either you're going to get, you know, all the fireworks and blocking everything, or you're going to actually get some cooperation and some interesting things done. I don't know what you're going to see, but it'll be fun. That's all I have to say. Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be back. And what was the next topic, Yvonne? Net neutrality. We'll be back in a minute.
Net neutrality.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
Haploid Love Poem by Brian Laidlaw. Moss came constantly, like a teen.
A north cheats on its axis, cheats on its X's. The spores were sporadic, though disarming. Open cans of hams. Bumping sentence, he vetoes individual lines with his nose. The nomadic spunk worries whither he is under a microscope. His eyes look so bigly, but it turns out his eyes were just that glassy and big.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
And
oh, wow.
Here we are. Oh, wow, what? Wow.
Holy
what?
Smokes.
What's happening?
Well,
what's happening?
Of all the things that apparently, you know, we're talking about the weather earlier. This would be a first, okay? That they might cancel today's game by the Philadelphia Eagles and Minnesota Vikings because of fear of a blizzard hitting Philadelphia. That's not usual. I mean, usually they'll play a fucking game even, you know, no matter how bad the weather. Apparently what they're worried about is that people may not be able to get to the damn stadium. So anyway, that's
okay,
a first.
Then. All intriguing.
Right. Anyway.
So yeah. Net neutrality. So basically the bottom line of what happened this week, the FCC has been going back and forth talking for a long time about whether or not to put net neutrality regulations in place. And to acknowledge what the term means for anybody who is unclear on it, it basically is the notion that providers of internet services can't discriminate and treat different kinds of content from different sources differently on their networks. So the notion being that the kind of things that would be prohibited by true net neutrality would be, Comcast deciding that access to services provided by Comcast would be faster, would get special treatment, and meanwhile stuff from Netflix would get a second tier slower service, for instance, or services determining that if you were using certain types of products, let's say BitTorrent, for instance, they would throttle you and give you a much lower speed than if you were just surfing the web or whatever. Basically, anything where you can imagine the carrier doing something different depending on what you are doing with your internet is potentially covered by this stuff. So the FCC had looked at regulating this specifically in terms of the BitTorrent example. They caught Comcast was doing a network managing policies that basically slowed down anybody using BitTorrent. Which, of course, you know, is used quite a lot to get pirated video and other stuff, but has quite a few legitimate uses as well. Anything where you're downloading large files, essentially, it's a very efficient distribution mechanism. The FCC went in and said, no, you can't do this. Comcast took them to court. Comcast won and said that the FCC did not have the authority to act in the way they did. So ever since, the FCC has been looking for how to go back and regulate under sort of a different, you know, justification for their regulations. They came out this week with something that I believe last week, Yvonne, you said a quote somewhere along the lines of, you know, is the way you know a compromise is successful that absolutely everybody is unhappy. And I think
that's correct.
That's partially what's happening with the net neutrality stuff the FCC did. There's an exception. The one group that seems to be really, really happy with this are the actual internet providers. So basically, the FCC said, we do have authority to regulate this, and they came up with some new justification why that's different from the last justification. And there will be net neutrality requirements of wired internet, but not for most wireless services, and for both wired and wireless, lots and lots of exceptions. Basically, you've got two groups of people that are very upset about this. The right-wing Tea Party Republican types are very upset about this as, they're describing it as Obama making a massive reach to regulate the internet. And then you've got the net neutrality advocates who are like, this is very, very weak. It has a very... It doesn't have any teeth to actually enforce anything. And by exempting wireless from everything, you essentially make it meaningless because the clear trend is movement towards wireless. And if you look 5-10 years in the future, basically the internet is going to be wireless in the majority use case. And so you're basically setting it up so that you are opening it up for... internet providers like, you know, Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, whatever, to start doing what they've done with cable, which is essentially sell tiers and, you know, here's the package you get for your basic service. But if you want if you want the Netflix included, you pay $5 a month extra. If you want your super speed to do video conference calls, here's this other thing, and you know, all kinds of things that right now just aren't the case on the internet, but are now, the option is open to them in the future. I mean, how it works in a competitive marketplace, who knows, but the option is certainly open. Okay, that's the background. So I'll shut up for a second. Yvonne, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that given... you know, where we are with the internet and the fact that a lot of people, we're trying to do a lot more bandwidth intensive applications. Okay. You get all these people that are trying right now. You know, we're talking about streaming video, for example, a lot of it, even over a wireless network. The other day, you know, I get a link from a friend of mine on my iPhone. And by the way, we got pretty good AT&T coverage down here in South Florida. And to go look at a damn YouTube video. I mean, it took me like 4 times to try to hit that damn thing before that damn video would download. And I'm like thinking, you know, the cost that it's going to take the wireless carriers to be able to provide more bandwidth in order to be able to give these services out to people. If there is no way to do some kind of market pricing for you to be able to charge certain people for higher tier services, I mean, I don't see how the carriers would be incented into investing into putting these services out.
I'll tell you what worries me here. I mean, like, I would have absolutely no problem. In fact, I would be happy with, let's get rid of the unlimited services entirely. Let's do everything metered. You pay X amount per megabyte. Period. End of story. Right. Flat. And then the people who use lots of bandwidth
started moving towards that already.
Yeah. Right, but then the people who use lots of bandwidth for video or BitTorrent or whatever pay more. I think that's absolutely fair. What I worry about is when they start doing things that are sort of more, you know, more creative, where they provide, you know, the we're gonna manage our. So, you know, everybody's still sort of pseudo unlimited or really high limits. But if you do this kind of thing, you'll get full performance. If you do that kind of thing, we're going to throttle you and slow you down a bit because, you know, whatever. And sort of shaping what works and what doesn't and how. And basically you provide something that enables the people who control the network to really have a fundamentally shaping control of how things evolve in the future. A lot of what you have on the internet right now would not exist if the ISPs had the ability to right up front decide, hey, is this something we want to allow on our networks? Because yes, in theory, like they could make that decision purely on network management principles, blah, blah, blah. But in reality, there's going to be a lot of temptation to also do that on business principles. That, they, oh, these folks are doing something that potentially impacts our pay-per-view revenue. So we don't want that, or whatever. Like, and I could see, like, as an example, like, I've been a big fan of like Slingbox. It lets you watch your home television from anywhere, but it lets you, for instance, go across the country and watch sports games from your home team or whatever. And they'd much rather sell you a special sports package to pay extra to buy those.
Right.
Right. Right. So why not say, oh, okay, so television place shifting isn't allowed on our network. Sorry. Or it is, but at a really slow speed that's going to
I agree with what you're saying. I mean, because you're talking about limiting the users versus just talking about the actual amount of data or bandwidth that you're consuming. And, I understand, trying to ban certain illegal activities, okay? I mean, I can understand. I mean, maybe you don't agree with the law itself, but I can understand a carrier concerned about those,
problem is, of course, if you add the ability to that will let you actually go in and block those illegal activities, it comes with the capability to block things that aren't illegal.
And that's where we get into problems. I know. Yeah. I understand. However, I am for being able to charge for volume and being able to charge for higher speeds. Okay. We did that even before we had DSL, you had a T1. I mean, if you wanted to, you paid for a T1 or you got DSL or a cable modem. I mean, why the hell can't you just, say to people, well, you've got your phone, whatever it is, whether it's an Android, an iPhone, whatever the heck it is.
And honestly, like, I don't think that was ever in dispute. I mean, the notion of being able to charge for usage has never been in dispute in this whole category. No one's ever said that they shouldn't have the ability to do that.
However, there were people talking about, throttling certain services and limiting speed on certain things.
Right, exactly. That's where it comes into play, is when it's not just throttling your total bandwidth or
but it's throttling certain services. Yeah.
Yes. That's when it becomes problematic.
I know.
And so what I worry about, you're absolutely right. Like the rate of demand in this one area anyway, the rate of demand increase is such that the wireless networks can't necessarily handle everything that's being asked of them right now. And what's being asked of them is going to increase exponentially. And the providers are going to have to put in a lot of infrastructure in order to support demand. However,
I don't know if you saw this week, AT&T just laid out $4 billion, okay, to buy this spectrum from Qualcomm, okay, that they used to sell this this thing that never took off, the mobile TV.
Yeah, I remember that.
Qualcomm sold. Well, that thing went belly up, and AT&T just basically, because they know they need the damn bandwidth, and they were desperate. They laid out $4 billion to buy that a swath of bandwidth from Qualcomm.
Well,
$4 billion fucking dollars, not chump change, mind you.
Well, no, but okay. The point I was going to make is, yes, they're going to have to, if they want to keep up with this, they're going to have to put in a massive investment, and of course, they're going to want to figure out as many creative ways to monetize it as they can. However, the problem is the precedents you set right now will affect the development of the whole media long after this bandwidth crunch is over.
That's true.
Because what you do now is going to set the stage for the next 10, 15 years of how this industry develops and what kind of things are possible and what kinds of things are not. And if you set up right now a structure that gives ISPs the basically the ability to pick and choose what they like and what they don't like, then you've just defined how that is going to evolve over the next year and you next few years. And you've set it up in such a way that you're going to restrict innovation and you're going to keep things from happening as creatively and interestingly as they could, because you're basically going to say, you know, all the interesting upstart things, you know, they can be squashed at a whim by the ISPs.
But you know what the problem is? I mean, I agree. I mean, I like that creativity. It's just that one of the things about it is how the internet has evolved. You know, you got to remember that the internet 20 years ago was a loose confederation of all these universities in different places that were just wired up and, you know, allowed access. Hello?
Something's talking in your background.
I don't know. Something came up on my computer. I'm sorry. Anyway, as I was saying, it was a loose confederation of all these computers connected. All of a sudden now, this is under control of a number of very large corporations who are investing billions and billions of dollars in infrastructure.
Corporations, I say, that have not had a good record on customer service and customer friendliness, by the way.
No, not particularly, no. I mean, you know.
You know, I am not generally a big fan of regulation stuff. I'm generally the one saying, hey, you know, government, keep the hell out of it. Let it evolve how it evolves. And hey, you know, if Verizon owns the lines, they should be able to do whatever the fuck they want to with them or whatever. But I'd say that in this case, there are a couple of mitigating factors. One is a lot of the things that these companies have sort of infrastructure-wise or resource-wise. Like, for instance, you know, the spectrum allocation. This is not this is stuff that was given to them. The government was responsible for handing these things out and giving them at what really are below market costs for what they really would be if it was completely freely done. A lot of the infrastructure in terms of hard lines to houses and businesses and stuff is granted by local governments on monopoly basis where not everybody can go in and do it. So there's a lot of presence there already. You know, I think I'd be in a position where I'd be okay with something with a regulatory scheme that basically said, look, you can figure out how you want to charge for speed and for data that goes through the pipe, however the fuck you want. You can do a flat fee, you can do tiers, you can do whatever, but you can't discriminate on what that data is. You know, and sort of the strict net neutrality model. I think at this point I'd be okay with that. Like if you asked me a year ago, I'd be like, no, we shouldn't mess with them. They should do what they want, blah, blah, blah. But now, I honestly, I'm worried with what the fuck they're going to do with it. And honestly, yep. The other part I would be like, I'm turning into such a regulationist. Like the me of like 5 years ago would be so disappointed in me. But... but, you know, the other thing is I wouldn't mind a strict separation... just like you used to have between banking and brokerage with Glass-Steagall or whatever, I wouldn't mind a strict separation that says, hey, if you're a network provider, you can't do content. And if you're a content provider, you can't do network. You know, you pick. Mm. You know, because it seems like that is such a conflict of interest. I would like the network providers to be all about 100% figuring out how to best get data from place A to place B. That's it. And then somebody else uses the network and pipes the data through it. The fact that you've got major corporations who are on both sides of that fence seems to me setting up a situation where whatever's going to happen is not going to be in the best interest of the users.
You know something, it's kind of funny, but this is a regulation, like kind of a regulation not to regulate. It's almost like a regulation to like, you know... either you create the highway or you build the cars, but you can't create a highway just so it uses your cars.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's all we're saying. It's like either you can be in the highway business or you can be in the car business. You can't be on both. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes those things are, in my opinion, I happen to agree, they are a good thing. Keep them separate, because otherwise people will wind up, you know, flexing their muscle to control that monopoly. And that's, you know.
But of course, so. Getting us back to reality for the moment, what we actually have in this situation is basically that the FCC giving the communication industry almost everything they want. And so we'll see what happens. But my fear is that the internet in 5 years is going to be unrecognizable, and the Comcasts of the world are going to do their damnedest to force it into the model that we have now for cable. And that sucks. Now they may or may not succeed, because there may be public demand out there that just, you know, views neutral behavior as a competitive advantage. And so it'll still be possible to get it. But the vast majority of people out there actually don't give a crap. You know, they're going to turn on their computer and they won't even know the difference. And they'll be like, okay, oh, I have to pay, you know, Comcast an extra $5 a month to be able to get full value out of Netflix or whatever. Oh, okay. I guess that's how it works. You know, but okay.
All right. Well, so I think we wasted a very valuable amount of people's time. I don't know, unless we got something else to talk about.
So do you want to do credit unions, or do you want to just wrap it up?
I think we can wrap it up right now. I think we're good.
Okay, so maybe we'll talk about credit unions some other time. For now, thanks everybody once again for joining us on, you know, perhaps it's snowy where you are, perhaps it's not. This interim time period between Christmas and New Year's. Anyway, tell your friends, they should listen to. Email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, thoughts, things we should talk about, etc. And that's it. We're out of here. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.